The Sports Interview with Anne Liguori podcast is brought to you by iBeCool Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive ice-fill cooling technology, along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best. Protect your skin. Visit ibkul.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Anne Liguori. Welcome to Sports Interview. We are here with John Madden at the Ruby Hill Country Club at the Outback Celebrity Golf Tournament. How are you, John?
Very well.
The bus is parked in front. The Outback Madden Cruiser is parked in front. And you have been working with Outback for about 6 years now.
Yeah. We've been, it's been a great association. You know, I've been with, they sponsor my bus and they're on, you know, the paint job and the whole thing.
It's a bright paint job, just to say the least.
But, you know, like I tell people, if they don't like it, then they're too old. You know, it's a young thing. You know, so I get all the guys, and I said, you know, this is young happening, and so, you know, young people like it.
Sure.
So then you say, how do you like it? You know, of course. Oh, I love it. You know, they love those colors. You know, yeah. Outback is such a great company. I think it has to be when you ride around the country and you have someone's name on the place that you ride and you live, you know, it better be good. And the product is so great. I've been with Outback now for over 6 years, and I've never, ever once had a bad word said about Outback. I've never had anyone come up and say, geez, I got a bad meal, or this happened, or that happened, or bad service, and that's important.
It's so great to see you. You know, I met you for the first time last night at the Outback Steakhouse restaurant at the party, and it's like we've known each other for so many years, and I was thinking, you know, that is probably one of your strongest qualities. You're just so down to earth, and it's like we've known each other forever. You like that on TV too. That comes across in your announcing.
Well, you know, it's something that I really don't think about. I mean, I really feel that, you know, that I've been lucky. I've really never worked a day in my life. I mean, I went from playing to coaching to broadcasting, and I've always been the same guy. I mean, I'm no different than the guy that I was in a junior in high school. And you know, and one of the things when I do something, I don't look at it. You know, and that's, I don't know if that's right or wrong, or you should even say that. But when I do a game, or I never look at the tape of it, because I figure if you're supposed to be yourself and you are yourself, and then you don't like it, what do you do? So I figured,
good point.
Yeah, why watch it?
You coached for 10 years, Oakland Raiders, won a Super Bowl. Then decided, I've had enough. You didn't want to coach anymore. How come?
I don't know. When I left coaching, there was no word burnout, and then the word burnout came, and they tried to attach that to me. But that wasn't, you know, I wasn't burned out. I mean, I was the type of guy that, you know, gave everything I had, and I had coached as a head coach for 10 years, and I figured that's all you have in you. And you look at some of these coaches, and, you know, there are the amazing ones. I mean, the Shulas and the Tom Landrys and the, you know, and the Chuck Knowles and those guys that coached for a long time. And then there were guys like me that, maybe Bill Parcells is in that category. Maybe Dick Vermeil is in that category. Maybe Jimmy Johnson, that you just have so much in you, and then you just don't want to do it anymore. And I don't know that it's burnout or not, but I started at 32, so I was retiring at 42 years old. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew I wasn't going to coach anymore. And I just fell into broadcasting. And then when I started that, I loved that. And I said, hey, this is it.
And you never looked back. Never once in the broadcast booth did you look at coaches and say, I really miss that. I really want to be back on the football field coaching. Did you?
I looked back once. I only looked back one time. And it was when Jimmy Johnson was working with us at Fox. He'd left Dallas and had worked at Fox for a couple years, and then went back and was going to coach Miami. And we were at a party in Dallas, and he was so excited about going back, he got me excited about going back. And he was saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I'm saying, yeah, you do this, you do, you know, and all this thing, and we're both going on and on. And so I got excited. I said, I'd like to be doing what Jimmy did. I was kind of envious of him. And then I remember walking across the street to my hotel, and I said to myself, I hope this feeling goes away overnight. And
did
I hope
it?
I wake up but it's not the same feeling. It did go away.
Thank goodness.
And I woke up the next day, and I didn't have that feeling anymore. So it did come back for one
just
night.
Just for that one night. Yeah. And it was Jimmy Johnson, of all people.
Yeah, of all people.
You can get excited about coaching.
Yeah, and we just both, and one thing led to another, and I said, geez, I'd like to do what he's doing.
How did you feel when you got the call to go do a football game for CBS?
When I first retired, I wanted to spend time with my family. And because when you're a football coach, you work all the time and you're never home. And so you're being pulled upon. You know, and one side is I ought to spend time with my family, and the other side I have to work because I have to win.
Sure.
If you're in coaching, you got to win. There's
Absolutely.
No other thing, and you can't lose, and losing, you know, is so tough. You get tunnel vision and you have all this. So anyway, so I said, okay, I gave that part of my life to football. Now I'm going to take time off and devote to my family. Well, I went home and there was no family there. They don't stay home waiting for you. You know, my kids, you know, they had school, they had
sure.
teams, they had places to go. My wife was independent.
And she was used to you being away.
Yeah, they all were. And so I was sitting home with my dog. I mean, me and my dog Boss. And I thought, well, you know, there has to be more to it than that, that spending time with your family is overrated. So I knew I had to do something, and I didn't want to be a broadcaster.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. I turned him down 3 or 4 times because
why?
I don't know. I mean, as a coach, I really didn't respect what they did.
You didn't respect what they were saying about the game, right?
No. I mean, I really didn't respect television. I mean, I thought that... I mean, I was a coach, you know, just coach and the team and everyone else and everything else
right.
is a distraction. Just
right.
stay away. And so I was never television friendly, nor media friendly. And, you know, for a while, I mean, that was, you know, a joke.
Sure.
I never was. And then I get into it. And so I didn't want to do it. And then it came on and I did. And the first time I did it, I said, this is it. This is what I want to do.
I'm here with Willie Yarborough, who's been driving the Madden bus, the Outback Madden bus, since 1987. How many people can sleep on the bus?
We can sleep about 4.
Right?
Four right now.
You got the TV right here?
Yeah, we got the TV there. We got the VCR right here.
Right. Ah. Oh, you got 2 TVs right here.
Yeah, we got 2 TVs up here. We got 1 back here. This is our kitchen galley area. We have the full-size refrigerator.
I love the tile floors. That's class. Awesome.
You got an oven. You got a stovetop here.
Uh-huh.
Plus a microwave, coffee
uh-huh.
maker, toaster, blender.
Tortilla chips, very important.
And this is his bedroom back here. So this is where he... It looks shorter, but it's actually longer than it looks because of the pillow. The pillow's so big. This is his desk area back here.
Right.
Where he comes
right.
and... He spends a little time back here when he wants to be by himself. That's an old picture of Red Grange here.
He has all kinds of football books back here.
He has his old TV back here. He's got his radio. He's got his VCR.
All right.
He's got his tape CD player.
I love it. Well, we have to make sure we get a copy of A Passion for Golf sitting on that desk.
Okay. This is his private bathroom back here.
Ah.
That's a shower. We use it for a closet because we usually stop and get a hotel. We're going to take a shower. We're going to be there. We spend some time. And get off the bus for a while.
Always need additional closet space.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I love it.
He's a great guy to travel with because of the fact that he doesn't make it intense. He's very relaxed. And then, in fact, the first year I started with him, and one of his first things he said, we're going to have fun. We're a team, we're going to have fun, so let's enjoy it, you know. So there's no special seats, there's no special cups, or you just go and have a good time. The main thing is getting there safely. That's the main thing. We get him there safely, then we know we're there safely.
So how's your golf game?
Not very good.
No?
I mean, I can't. Anyone that is an old lineman is never a good golfer, you know, because, see, in football, you're always taught, you know, keep your head up. You know, you always gotta, you know, keep your head up and hit everything as hard as you can, and then... You go to play golf, and they tell you, you know, keep your head down and swing easy.
So it's a complete opposite.
Your football, yeah, an old lineman, you never swung easy at anything, and you never kept your head down. Because if you ever want to get beaten, you get your nose over your toes.
Oh.
You get your head down. And anytime you put your head down, you lose your power. But in golf, you have to keep
complete
your head
opposite.
Down. Yeah, so you can't play.
Well, that's a good excuse.
Well,
same alignment.
Yeah, I'm a lineman.
What's your handicap? I was a lineman.
Yeah, I'm a lineman. That's right. And then you know, handicap. So if you ever hear anyone put about in front of their handicap, you're not telling the truth.
That's right.
Yeah,
you know, you're either the next, a 15 say, no, or you're not a 15.
I mean, your handicap is a number. It's
that's
not
right.
about a number.
Exactly.
Yeah, so anytime, what's your handicap? Well, it's about, I don't know.
No.
That doesn't work. Come in. Kick. What did you hit there? That's the thing with golf. If you're going to be bad, you want to play tennis. Because if you're bad in tennis, it's over quickly. If you're bad in golf, it's just prolonged.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's a tough sport to be really bad at. But it's a tough sport to be very good at, and it's the most humbling sport of any sport I've ever played. Yeah. It's the most humbling sport.
And you do stupid things. I mean, there's like, if you take golf, and you wear clothes when you play golf that you wouldn't wear anyplace else. You do things, intelligent people, like they wouldn't sit down and talk to their golf ball at home. They wouldn't say, well, what do you want to do tonight? Where do you want to go to eat? You want to go right? You want to do this? You want to go for what? You wouldn't talk to them. So they're nuts and they put them
Absolutely.
Away. They go out in the golf course, they talk to the ball. They do. I mean, someone hit, come out, jump, hit, skip, bite, and the ball doesn't come back. But, I mean, the guy can be smart as heck, and then he'll go out there and talk to his golf ball. And then what's worse than the guy talking to his own golf ball is talking to your golf ball. Like, you ever hit a bad shot? I hate it. When I hit one and it's going in the trees, it's going in a tree, don't even talk about it. Don't say come back. Don't say hit a tree. Don't say take a bounce. But they'll all do that.
Just mind your own business.
Just shut up. Just shut up. Then if I really get a bad shot, then I get mad at him. I don't like the ball because you got to blame someone, And so I don't want to look for it. Some people want to go look for your golf balls. I have a say, and I say Fido. And Fido means forget it, drive on.
Uh-oh, that could be good. Come on down. Work for him.
There's only one guy that I really compete with because I kind of admit that I'm not a good golfer. And so therefore, that's like a disclaimer that I don't have to compete. I mean, I competed in a part of my life and I'm highly competitive. I mean, I'm competitive to a point that can go overboard. So I didn't want to do that to golf. So I admit that I'm not any good and I don't play well and I don't care. That's the thing. I have to get a point that I don't care. I don't care. Now, I lose to Don Shula. Now, I competed against Don Shula all my professional life. And we had great games when he was at Miami and I was at Oakland and for big games. And so I play him in golf and it starts off and I beat him in the first four or five holes. So I think that he's not really good. So I let down and I start telling jokes and I'm laughing, buddy. And anyway, so he beats me. So I don't think anything of it because I don't care. So now he pulls out the scorecard at the end. He said, here, will you sign this? I said, for what? He said, because I beat you. And I said, I didn't know we were competing. And so I'm driving home after that, and I thought, I forgot how to compete. I mean, I got to a point in my life that I don't compete anymore. So I chased Don Shula for 2 years. And the harder I tried, I couldn't beat him. And then we'll go down to the last hole.
All right.
A year ago, last summer, I played him on a Saturday, and we broke even. I played him on Sunday and beat him.
Oh, wow.
A year
for
ago.
The first time.
First time. So now he says, okay, we'll play tomorrow. I said, okay, call me. This is embarrassing now. So anyway, so I never played him again.
Let's talk a little football. Right? Or we could talk baseball or basketball.
Or
the Derby, whatever. You like all sports.
Yeah.
But, John, tell me a little bit about Bill Parcells. He's now decided to stay with the Jets. There was some speculation that he would go into the broadcast booth. Do you like to see Bill Parcells as a football coach, or do you think he is? It's time now? He's
Yeah, I think once a guy says he's going to quit, he's already quit, and I think you have to let him go. And I think it was probably a mistake a year ago when Jimmy Johnson tried to quit, and they talked him back into staying mm-hmm. another year, and mm-hmm. and he wanted to quit. And I firmly believe that. If you don't say you're going to quit, if you're not going to quit. Because once you say you're going to quit, you've quit.
When you're in the booth and you really analyze these games, I mean, how do you have to stop yourself from becoming too critical, or do you just say what comes to mind?
Nah, whatever comes to mind, because you're just an observer. And, you know, and sometimes it's how you feel. You know, I mean, you try not to let feelings get into it, like, you know, being cranky, if it's one of those days where, you know, I mean, it's like you look at everything rose-colored glasses or kind of mid between rose and plain and or just plain, and there's a lot of ways to look at it, because when I watch a game, I don't watch the monitor. I'm looking at the field, so I see all 22 players. So on any play, there's some good things that happen, and there's some average things that happen, and there's some bad things that happen. Now, if you see an interception, for example, it's easy to say that the quarterback wants that one back. Well, now that, I mean, the ground could say that. I mean, that's not, I mean, no quarterback says, boy, that's what I wanted to do. Give me the ball and I'll do it again. I'll throw it. Of course you don't want to throw an interception. So now you can look that the quarterback was a bad play by the quarterback. Or you could look and see that some guy hit him just as he threw and took something off it. Then you can go to the left tackle, and the left tackle didn't have his inside foot up. He put his inside foot back, which gave the inside lane to the defensive end.
So you see all of that.
But see it all.
But what you just choose to talk about.
Right. So now, or the guy that got a jump on the ball that read and came out. So now. That's right. So now you can pick. Now you can say the quarterback. You can say that he was hit. You can go to the tackle and show his inside foot. You can take the pass rusher who made the move, starts up the field to get the guy's inside foot back and get his shoulders turned so he can come inside. Or you can go to the defensive back that made it. So on that play, it's all in the eyes of the beholder. You know, I mean, how is a play a bad play? If it's a bad play for offense, it's usually a good play for defense.
Sure. Thanks so much.
Okay.
What a delight. You're a very special man. Thanks for joining.
The Sports Interview with Ann Liguori podcast was brought to you by Ivy Cole Luxury Athleisure Wear for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive IceFill cooling technology along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Look your best. Protect your skin. Visit IBKOL.com to learn more.